Hi, welcome to the Chronic Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Albro. Tonight we are joined, as always, by our fearless leader, President Emeritus, Chairman of the Board of Canal Street Chronicles, Dave Cariello, and from Akeem Drops the Ball, Kevin Held. Guys, I'm going to start with, I want your take on the whole situation with John Barr. Outside the Lines did another, I don't know if you call it a hit piece on Sean Payton. It's basically just, Sean Payton is like every other coach in the NFL. Can be a huge asshole. He's really arrogant. He's occasionally brilliant, and he fights with the media, which is pretty much any successful coach ever. Kevin, what was your thoughts on that whole situation, the piece in general, and did you find anything in it shocking about the Saints?
So I, you know, I don't have cable. I make a point of mentioning that, you know, whenever applicable. So I didn't get to see the Outside the Lines piece Sunday morning when everybody else did, and so couldn't react, you know, at the same, you know, for the first time with everybody else. And so I got to read all of this, like, vitriol, and oh my God, it's a complete hatchet job, and it's like a complete takedown, and all sorts of kind of stuff. And I'm like, damn, is that bad? And, you know, I'm always fine with taking shots at ESPN and, you know, anybody that thumbs their nose at the team and apparently just bullshits around like John Barr has in the past. So I finally watched the story, and I'm kind of just like, I was watching it, and I couldn't find myself getting that aggravated by it because, you know, one, I already know that it, you know, like, why the fuck would anybody, you know, let John Barr within the city limits to begin with, let alone stand on a fucking balcony in the French Quarter and do those one shots that he's doing. And then, like, I kind of found myself getting more aggravated at Joe Horn of all people, but then it's like, you know, yeah, I got pissed at Joe Horn originally, when he left and went to Atlanta and, you know, called him Fredo Joe and that whole thing. And but, yeah, I got pissed again. But then he's like, no, Sean Payton's a brilliant guy. He's, you know, he's 500% arrogant, as Joe says. And then, yeah, he's a brilliant coach. He knows what he's doing. He's ruthless.
Well, Joe Horn was, not to interrupt, but, I mean, it's my understanding that Joe Horn did not leave the team on good terms. And
absolutely not. I have no reason to doubt that either. And then, you know, hearing the thing that I'd always heard, but hearing it sort of like said in a national forum that, you know, the Saints cut Mike Carney like the day before he was getting married or whatever, I was kind of like, yeah, it's a pretty dick move. That's a pretty fucking dick move, especially, you know, I got a chance to interview Mike Carney when I used to actually go to the training camp, and nice guy, very, very affable. Like, he understood, I think, what it meant to be a football player, you know, always seemed to have his head on his shoulders, and, you know, to find
sort
out...
Sort of in the vein of Steve Gleason. I've always considered Mike Carney sort of in the vein of Steve Gleason, you know, not some
right.
smart with his money off the field, you know, and, you know, always looking to educate himself and you know, realizing that life is not all about football whatsoever.
Right, and just, you know, right, like a regular, approachable guy
right.
who you could talk to about a lot of different things, and, you know, on some days, that's what I ended up doing, and he was very, you know, he seemed very cool and relaxed about it. And so to hear that he actually got that cut, and then, you know, that kind of fucking bothered me and pissed me off a little bit because, you know, he was a nice guy. He was one of the good guys. I always felt he did his job, and he got cut. But at the same time, it's like, what are you going to do? It's like, what do you – I like you as a guy. I like you as a player. I mean, I'm kind of torn because, like, this is the coach of the team, and, yeah, it's a dick move, but he's the guy running the ship. I'm not the guy in charge of who's getting cut and who's not getting cut. So – you know, I'm glad you got on with another team. I wish the best for you. And then you hear the whole, oh, the team is allegedly targeting him and all this kind of stuff. I don't know about that. I don't know if that was Carney trying to pile on or what.
Oh, no, Greg Williams had a whole slide devoted to Mike Carter in one of his pregame things.
Poorly done, by the way.
It's off-putting. It's off-putting, and, you know, you just wish it didn't fucking happen, but a lot of it did, and you kind of just say, well, that sucks, and roll on.
But is it, Kevin, is it anything you saw in the piece, did you go, oh, my God, other coaches in the NFL do not act that way? I mean...
No, absolutely not.
Jim Caldwell doesn't act, period.
Like, Jim Caldwell would have to have a fucking pulse.
Is Jim Caldwell your temperature? Like, that's the question.
I mean, like, honestly, the only other fucking coach in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years that I would say doesn't act like that or didn't act like that is probably Dick Vermeil. With the exception of Dick Vermeil, I got no fucking clue. I got no clue. Anybody else I would point to and say, yeah, this guy's got to be a dick in some capacity, or he's got to be an overbearing son of a bitch, just something. Yeah. But you know what? Those guys are either successful or they're good enough to where they can keep getting jobs. I mean, shit, the current guy... for the Rams, Jeff Fisher, was with the Tennessee Titans for fucking, 15 years?
And is only mediocre as a coach.
Right, well, here's the thing. The Tennessee Titans were only good for, like, 6 of those years that he was there. But why was he there for so long? Because he kept the team fired up and competitive, and he was, you know, he was kind of a son of a bitch. And plus, he has a pretty fucking sweet mustache. So you want to keep that guy around for as long as possible until he proves, no, I can't fucking do my job, I'm horrible at my job. So that's kind of how that works. It's like if you have any kind of success or are competent in a way that coaches are expected to be competent and perform, they'll keep you around.
Well, that brings me to an interesting question. This has gone off in a completely different direction. But, Kevin, what does that say about Jim Haslett, who got the Saints their first playoff win ever and hadn't gotten another job?
Because, listen, I've said this before fucking too. This guy ain't fit to coach electric football, let alone actual fucking football as a head coach, okay? I said this guy can't be a head coach. And then I was like, no, this guy can't be a fucking defensive coordinator. He is a position coordinator at best. And sure enough, the fucking, I believe it's the Steelers. The Steelers picked him up and said, no, we want you to just coach the linebackers. Or was it the fucking Redskins that picked up? Either way, it was a shitty decision.
He's a coordinator for the Redskins.
He's a defensive coordinator, yeah.
Oh, God, well, that explains plenty. I would say he's failing up, but you know he's never going to get to be a head coach again. But that's the way it is in the NFL. It's like if you get to demonstrate some basic level of competence, which he apparently did, that will hold you over for a long time before the rest of the league wises up and says, "Okay,
Jim Haslett got a second job in the NFL."
Right.
But I'm just saying, Wade Phillips got another job. I'm just saying, Jim Haslett, he must have some sort of stain on him, because I would think winning a playoff game with the Saints would at least get you, like, the Raiders head coaching job, or maybe Cincinnati, Cleveland. Eric Mangini got a second job, for Christ's sake.
Jim Haslett must be a hell of a personality.
I don't know. I'm just asking questions. I don't have any pre-thought up answers.
None of them do.
Dave, I'm going to say in my column this week that the Saints-Jacksonville game was, as far as a preseason game goes, pretty freaking horrendous. When you factor in performance and injuries, I would say on the preseason scale of death, It rates like a 7 out of 10, 7.5. What is your what was your thoughts on the Saints-Jaguars preseason game?
Well, man, it actually, you could probably rate it higher. I mean, just, well, maybe if there was like another injury, but it was bad. it was really not a fun game to be at. It really, because of the poor officiating, it lacked a lot of flow, and it took a long time.
It
really dragged out.
Roger Goodell said it today.
I mean, it really dragged out for a preseason game. And I mean, the play, the defense, you know, the missed tackles and all that, I mean, they just look floppy. But the Saints have one game like that every single preseason. Like it's guaranteed every single preseason. They have one game, and, you know, this is we've had the same conversation for the last 3 years after a particular game, and it's like, you know, the Saints always look, they look tackling, weak tackling, and they just look bad, and everybody starts freaking out. But what winds up happening, regular season comes, and the Saints wind up being just fine. So, yeah, it was ugly. Yeah, it looked bad. But Mom certainly doesn't make me any more nervous about the upcoming season. The only thing that makes me nervous is the injuries, I mean, because those are important. You know, Chris Chamberlain, that sucks the whole year. But the Curtis Lofton one, that bothers me a little bit more because, you know, he's – I really have liked what I've seen out of him so far. And I mean, even though he was a replacement for Vilma, I mean, he's an upgrade. So, you know, hopefully his injury doesn't last too long. They're only saying it's a week or whatever. You know, they're saying he might play the first week. I'm not going to get my hopes up about that. It feels like the whole Vilma situation all over again. Like last year, Vilma hurt himself preseason. And they were saying the same thing. Oh, he'll be back by week one. He didn't play in the first game. I believe that's correct. So we'll see. But I think the Saints are going to be fine. The Darryl Rood signing, you know, you could look at it two ways. I think a lot of us, when we saw the Darryl Rood signing.
I love it when they sign senior citizens. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of us say, holy shit, maybe the situation at linebacker is pretty bad and it's worse than we thought, but they need to do this and trade away a draft pick, a seventh-round draft pick. But and then Barrett Root himself, he's definitely a potential liability.
He's already injured, isn't he? He missed.
I mean, he was on the Seahawks, but he's never actually played a game for them because this was his first year, and he never played any of the preseason games. So, yes, he's currently injured, and he's coming off other off-season injuries. So, you know, this is a huge question mark. But the other way you can look at it, I mean, I saw one article just before we came on here from a not very reputable website. I don't even know who these people are. But saying that, you know, maybe the Saints overreacted. Maybe they didn't really need – maybe if they just, you know, calmed down for a bit and just thought about maybe fixing the problem with the talent they have in the building – as I like to say, as I like to quote Coach Caton, you know, maybe they could have just gotten to where they needed with just who they have in the building. But obviously, maybe they don't feel that way.
Kevin, does the Barrett Rood signing make you more or less worried?
more worried because, you know, at first when I heard, oh, the Saints got Barrett Rood. Oh, yeah, shit, I remember that guy when he was on the Bucs, man. This guy was... And actually, I thought he was still with the Bucs. I was like, man, this guy was a beast with the Bucs, and that's the kind of linebacker that we need. We need a guy named Barrett Rood as a linebacker. That's how you fucking get this linebacking core. That'll take him to the next step. Just get a guy with a fucking name like that. Now we get a guy with the last name of like Blood or like Bones or something. You know, just something crazy. Then we got a fucking core. We got Lofton and this other guy, and Barrett Rood, and that's how we're going to do it. And then I'm like, oh, wait, he spent most of last season on IR, and he hasn't played it down for the team that he's with, and he's fucking perpetually hurt, and he passed his physical with a D+, so
I
can't
true?
Be all
really?
That stoked about him.
Did he really pass with a D+?
I don't know.
No. You need to pass... No, you either pass a physical or you don't. There is no sliding scale.
I've never heard of grading.
K, Kevin, the funny thing is, I had the same exact reaction as you. I was like, that Rudy's good. He's on Tampa team. And I was like, oh, man, he was injured. He played for Tennessee, and he was injured. And then I realized, man, I am out of the loop. Like, I used to be up on it in fantasy football. I'm already fired up now. I'm just like, you know, about a day before my draft, I start looking at players. I'm not plugged in like I used to be held, getting old. All right.
Drag.
It is a drag, you know, when you sit in, you know, like today I worked and sat in my cubicle and tried to decide, help Mitt Romney's old company, Bain, help them decide who they're going to give cancer to. That's what I do now. But
it sounds like a delightful way to collect a paycheck.
It is delightful because it pays extremely, extremely much more than I deserve. Dave.
I'm curious.
What's that?
I said, now I'm curious.
Yeah, it is. It's just like a quote unquote like non-profit. They give like benchmarks to companies. If you buy a company, they'll rate them and say, hey, they don't do this well, they do this well, whatever. It's super exciting. Dave, I am a little bit concerned with the Saints at wide receiver because Lance Moore has a tendency to get injured. Marcus Colston has a tendency to get injured. And they're banged up at the wide receiver as it is. And I know there's this sense with the Saints, and you've always joked with me, hey, I'm like, Dave, are they going to just plug somebody in and it'll be fine? And you're like, that's exactly what they're going to do. But doesn't there come a point where, like, you run out of bodies?
Well, hey, look, Ray, we got Greg Camarillo. He's going to save the day, baby. obviously, I'm kidding. I still kind of feel that way. I think we've enjoyed what we've seen out of Joe Morgan, and I think if he's got a chance, if he's given a chance, he might make some crazy things happen. Hell, I mean, you could put a guy like Tavares Cadet out there as wide receiver. I've been saying this whole time, just forget being a running back, just put him as a wideout. Maybe more like a slot guy, but honestly, Ralph, I think they could probably slap the helmet on you and Drew Brees could make you look good.
I don't know about
that. I'm not going to start worrying about it yet. I mean, an injury to Colston, which is probably inevitable. I mean, the positions that Colston gets put in and the tight spots that Colston has to make catches in, it's only fitting that he gets injured. But he's like one of those – he sleeps in like a hyperbaric chamber and he like heals up super fast.
Yeah, he does.
Didn't
he have like a knee surgery last year in like week 15? And they're like, he's going to be good. He's going to play in the playoff game.
I think he keeps like Mr. Miyagi in his closet and they do that little thing where he slaps his hands together and then rubs them until they're warm and he places it on whatever affected area of the body Marcus Colston has and heals right up. No, but seriously, I mean, Marcus Colston, he really takes this shit seriously. I mean, he takes playing football like he really treats it like a job. And I absolutely respect that. But, no, I'm not worried about the wide receiver position. No, not yet. Absolutely not. And we've seen good things from Courtney Roby, too, who we've never seen. We've never seen him used in the capacity that we have this preseason as a wide receiver. So, and maybe, I'm not optimistic about this, but maybe Nick Thune will get healthy and could possibly contribute. But right now my feelings are that Nick Thune's going to get put on IR. And he'll sit out the season and, learn the playbook and by observing and then come in next year and be a world beater.
Devery Henderson did that. Kevin, the over...
Harrington was supposed to do that.
Well, Kevin, in Vegas, the over-under on passes Nick Thune will catch this year is one. Do you go over or do you go under?
I'm with Dave. I'm with Dave. I gotta go with Dave. I gotta take the under. I can't. I just can't. I wish I could. Wish I could go for that, but they're gonna put him. He's right. They're gonna put him on the IR, and they're gonna keep. They're gonna keep Roby, and they're.
They would keep Roby regardless of whether Toomer's healthy or not. Let me. You know, in case there's any doubt about this, I'm sorry for interrupting Kevin, but in case there's any doubt about this, Courtney Roby makes the final roster. There's no question about that.
Right, but what I'm saying is that he'll be like the number four wide receiver.
Okay.
I can't see Greg Camarillo passing him on the depth chart for that, and I don't see Cadet doing that either, and you know, I think they're just going to finally bid adieu to Sir Adrian of Arrington.
No, Kevin. What will the message board people do? What will message board guy do?
Well, yeah, but haven't they already turned all their love to Cadet anyway?
And they kind of have, but it's not the same. I don't think it's the same kind of love affair.
Cadet is going to be bound for the practice squad.
Arrington had a few years, to really build up his mojo and his momentum as off-season world champion. So,
but the thing is, Dave, I watched the Jets, Dave, in the preseason. Their running backs blow. They might claim Cadet if the Saints cut him. I mean, the Jets are that terrible in a total off-topic kind of way.
Yeah, why are you talking about the Jets?
Well, I mean, look.
You watch too many Dolphins games because of your wife.
Well, that's true. I know Greg Camarillo, he was the Dolphins' best receiver for a stretch, okay, buddy?
I know. Well, so why don't you tell us a little bit about Camarillo? I mean,
let's
put the tables on you. Can we expect any reasonable production out of Greg Camarillo? Bear in mind that he has Drew Brees going to him now, not whoever the fuck the Dolphins had at any given fucking point in their god-awful quarterback career.
He could get open. He got open more consistently than any other Dolphin receiver pre-Brandon Marshall, and it wasn't even close. I mean, even Devin Best didn't get open as much as Camarillo. And I think he might be able to do something for the Saints because he's smart. They can put him all over the place. He's sort of like the dollar store version of Wes Welker. But Kevin, as we, you know, this is the last preseason game. The fourth one, it doesn't really count. They don't do anything. Are we going to get a decisive decision in the kicking battle?
I hate that this is the big competition. I hate that there's even a competition. I wish there didn't need to be a competition. I wish that either John Casey just like went nuts and just like wandered off somewhere and decided I'm gonna go live in fucking Bangladesh for the season. So you go right ahead and keep Garrett Hartley or honestly, I wish, you know, Hartley was just like, I can't kick anymore. I don't have it in me mentally. Whatever. Just something where it was an easier decision because either.
You want Garrett Hartley to get suspended, don't you?
Part of me, secretly, yes. Secretly, well, not so secretly anymore, yes. Part of me wishes that somebody in that building with a key to a locker, perhaps, that has, I don't know, certain unmarked bottles in them, might attempt to mix them in with whatever whey beverage Mr. Hartley is sampling on a particular day. Because it's either we're cutting the guy who's been around forever and a day and is still making good kicks and is still doing all the right things and can still get the job done and is just like doing a yeoman's job. Or we're getting rid of the guy who shouldn't have to pay for a fucking beer in the city of New Orleans or the Gulf region for that matter for the rest of his natural born life. So it's worse than trying to pick which one of my dogs is my favorite. That's easier. That's easier. It's easier for me to pick which dog is my fucking favorite, but to pick which fucking place kicker I want, I can't do it.
I don't think this is as difficult as Kid is making. I think this decision is easy. I think Hartley's the man. I mean, he hasn't really done anything this preseason to show us that he doesn't deserve the job. I mean, he's not, you know, making crazy kicks here.
Yeah.
And if all things are equal, tie goes to Garrett Hartley. You know, if they both look the same, then Garrett Hartley's your guy because he's younger and you've already paid up this big contract.
Yeah. But
Well, here's the thing. You've actually seen the game, so you can tell me that Garrett Hartley hasn't fucked anything up.
Have you heard or read anything on Canal Street Chronicles or any other Saints website saying like questioning Garrett Hartley's kicking abilities
in
preseason?
No.
Exactly.
I have read nothing with Garrett Hartley in the headline or anything indicating that Garrett Hartley is not
exactly
qualified. But
right.
It's
I think for Garrett Hartley, I think the less that's said about him, that's good. And I think kickers are supposed to be, you know, I make this analogy all the time. Kickers are supposed to be like drummers. Like, you're not even supposed to know that they're there. They're just supposed to come in, do their job, and it's just something you can bank on. And, I mean, they've both really been like that. I mean, actually, if anybody's been more consistent, I would say it's Hartley over Casey. I personally think Hartley's been actually winning the battle anyway. My point was is that even if he wasn't, even if things were just equal, I still think you'd go with Hartley. So it's his job to lose.
So, yeah, it's gonna be interesting, and I think deep down probably they want Hartley to win it because Casey's kind of like year to year. Whereas if you pick Hartley, I mean, you can conceive of it. Like you said, they gave him the long-term deal. So if Hartley keeps his shit together, he could be the Saints kicker in 5 years where, you know, Casey is not going to be. Kevin.
Hey, we're not looking for Morton Anderson here. We're just looking for a guy with some long-term stability.
Exactly. Like, just Hartley, just play 16 games. You're a kicker. It's not that hard.
Well, I mean, not even 16 games, but I mean, you know, just give us 3 straight seasons where we know that you're just going to get the job done, for fuck's sake. That's the part that pisses me off, is that he's consistently given the Saints a reason to bring in a guy like John Carney or John Casey.
It is true. And in a weird kind of way, he had the injury, he had the speed, he took the drug to keep him awake for the drive to New Orleans. What else did he had something else I thought, but I don't know. They brought in old man Carney.
He got a case of the yips too.
Yeah, he had a case of the yips too. Kevin, give me for all the fantasy people out there, which are many, give me a guy on because the Saints it's just, you know, you got Jimmy Graham and you got Drew Brees. And you got Colston, but Colston's sort of come and hit and miss. Who's a guy on the Saints that you are looking at that you are like, I'm going to pick him because I think he's going to maybe not be a stud or a top 5 player or whatever, but a guy that I think is going to be valuable to me on a pretty consistent basis on the Saints?
Okay, well, to be perfectly honest, if we're all being honest, all you're really taking is Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham, and then there's a giant fucking gulf, and then you're taking Marcus Colston and Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And then Darren Sproles had all those yards, but, you know, fucking fantasy ain't counting kick return and punt return yards.
Yeah, but it's,
you know? Here's the thing you got to consider. Somebody is going to take Darren Sproles way too fucking early anyway. So, you know, you're probably better off just like sitting and waiting. And now I don't know how this is going to go in any drafts back home because fuck any Saints player, you know, there's always going to be a bunch of yahoos that would gladly make their team nothing but the fucking Saints players and then get pissed when Devery Henderson.
Spoken from the man who spent like $20 on Jimmy Graham last year.
Yeah, oh yeah, hey, I was a fucking genius for getting Jimmy Graham, okay? I fucking believed in him. I nurtured him. I was well-wishing, and the man came up all fucking roses for me. So, So
my guy on the thing. My guy like that on the thing.
Pat myself on the back like Barry Horowitz. I'm still patting myself for that one. But seriously, if you were looking for a guy to get middle rounds that you could get, that you could count on consistent production from, I'd just fucking say Pierre. Because you know they're going to hand the ball to Pierre. You know he's bound to break off some nice runs, and they'll still throw him the ball. Because everybody keeps saying, boy, those swing passes to Pierre Thomas. I keep seeing that shit on Twitter during preseason games. Oh, swing pass to Pierre. Or a swing pass to Pierre. Oh, Pierre fights for those tough yards. That's fucking Pierre Thomas in a nutshell. Fights for the tough yards, he's unafraid, and he seems to be, you know, like, ready to just get out there and fucking run like nothing's happened since prior to that last game of the season, which shall not be spoken of too much. So,
Dave,
I mean, he's going to be consistent.
Yeah, Dave, do you have anybody on the Saints that you're sort of targeting, looking at?
Well, you know, it's tough. It's the key word in your question is consistency. It's tough because, I mean, you know, everybody knows it. The Saints just spread it around so much. I agree. Pierre Thomas, out of all the running backs, might be the most consistent as far as scoring points for your fantasy team. But, you know, they're also going to be doing the same thing with Darren Sproles. Sproles is going to be getting the handoffs. Then he's going to be getting swing passes. And then they're going to have Mark Ingram, and he's going to get in there, too. And then maybe, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe Chris Ivory or something like that. But he might only come in for injuries. But, I mean, I would say, I actually, you know, you guys were talking about how you guys, you know, or Kevin picked Jimmy Graham, and, you know, he believes in him. And my guy like that this year, I think my maybe you'd call a sleeper. But I would go with Mark Ingram. I mean, I think he's going to get a lot of the – I think he's going to get – Well, first of all, I mean, I think he's looked very good this season. I really liked what I've seen from him so far. And I think he's going to run a lot better this year. But, I mean, I think he's also going to get a lot of that goal line stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could be valuable from the standpoint of always scoring touchdowns, maybe not racking up a huge amount of yardage. But I think he might get a lot of touchdowns if he's going to get any of that goal line stuff or within 10-yard stuff. But, you know, we'll see. I have to imagine the Saints are going to call their offense just like they've always have, and that just means everybody gets a touch, everybody gets a little taste, and nobody really just dominates week in, week out. One week it might be Lance Moore, the next week it might be Ingram, week after that it's Colson, and the week after that it's Jimmy Graham. So if consistency is what you're looking for, I think you really just got to stay away from the Saints.
I like Lance Moore just because of the health issues of the wide receivers. I think if Lance Moore can stay healthy, I think he is a low-end number two receiver that you can get really, really late in your draft, even if you're in a wackadoo New Orleans Saints fan league, which probably most of us are. I still think Lance Moore will have he'll be a really good value that you can get late, you know, maybe even like right at the end of your draft. Dave, as we get to the end of the preseason, what is one sort of thing that's not injury related that has disappointed you in the preseason regarding the Saints?
One thing that's not injury related that disappointed me. That's a tough one. Because to be honest with you, I've been fairly happy with the team. I'm fairly optimistic about this season.
Yeah.
One thing that has disappointed me. I don't know. If Kevin's got an answer on this one, he can go and
I'll tell you what. Here's the funny thing. You've watched all the preseason games, and you're sitting there trying to find this great perfect gem of an answer.
Kevin hasn't watched any of it. He's got the answer ready.
Right.
Well, let's hear it.
Tackling. tackling. Wrap that shit up. Wrap it up and fucking tug it, tug somebody to the fucking ground. Wrap and fall. Wrap it up and fall over, man.
But see, that's been par for the course for the Saints. That's, you know, I'm not.
Well, they fucking brought in. They brought in the fucking New York guy, the fucking New York guy who revamped the Giants, and who, you know, was making the Rams, you know, was trying to fucking do some stuff with the Rams defense, despite putting a Band-Aid on a machete wound. And now he gets to come and just focus on being a defensive coordinator. So now we're going to see him playing with, you know, what appear to be better pieces. And, you know, just Steve's got to fucking tell these guys to tackle. Enforce that shit.
I'm going to end on this note. We're going to end on this question. Dave, you go first. Does it delight you or does it horrify you that through all the injuries, the plagues, the locusts, and the linebacker apocalypse, Scott Shanley just keeps on chugging along?
Oh, it's funny that you mentioned this because, and I swear this is true, the other night when the Saints signed Darrett Root, I was actually working on a satire piece, and it was going to be revolve around Scott Shanley, and it was going to be, you know, it was going to have the theme sort of like Scott Shanley. I mean, he's doing something because, I mean, just over the last 5 years, he just will not go the fuck away. He continues to sit around. I mean. The Saints have done so much. I mean, players are getting suspended. Key players are getting injured. The Saints continue to bring in competition, and he will be your starting fucking linebacker for the Saints when this season starts. I fucking guarantee it. I was standing around the potential headline of Scott Shanley found dead, expected to start against the Texans on Saturday. I mean, it delights me because I think he's a good guy and, you know, more power to him. And, but I get very, very much, I find it very funny. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it. I really do. I hope that he plays for another 10 fucking years.
Scott Shanley, he's gone from the most hated to the most loved. He just,
you gotta give the dude credit. I mean, he is the fucking Duracell battery, man. He just keeps going and going and going. Energizer, whatever the fuck company sells that shit.
Kevin, does it stun you that Scott Shanley just keeps on surviving?
Yeah, yes. And actually, before I actually deliver the clever little quip that I have, am I supposed to tell the story?
You are.
After this?
Okay. You are.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll transition to that after this. So the thing about Scott, Shanley is that it's like, remember the end of The Dark Knight? Scott Shanley is not the linebacker we want, but he is the linebacker that we need in that he doesn't get injured and his glaring errors are nowhere near as glaring as everybody else's. Therefore, he gets a paycheck, he stays on the team, and that's really what we have to accept.
And they got him for a bag of balls from the Dallas Cowboys, by the way.
Exactly. Exactly. If fucking Fujita didn't ask for the farm, we'd still have fucking Fujita on our team.
It was going to be, I originally started with Scott Shanley is suspended and tears ACL, out for season, expected to start for Houston on Saturday, but then I was like, fuck it, let's just kill him. I went with Scott Shanley found dead, expected to start on Saturday versus Texans. Oh my God. And it's so funny because I had like kind of just come up with that and I'm kind of cracking myself up just reading it. And then I get a text message on my phone. I have it hooked up so that whenever Greg Bentel tweets anything, he automatically comes to my phone as a text message, because he's the one guy that, you know, when he tweets something, it's usually important.
When he's
so,
not
like,
calling up John Barr and cursing him out?
Right.
Allegedly.
Right. So I was cracking up at my little fake headline there, and all of a sudden I get the text message from Greg Bentel that the same sign got rude. I was like, oh, now I got to cover this, and I can't really write this post now, but maybe I'll get to it. But, yeah, speaking of Greg Bentel, I think that's an excellent segue to Kevin's story.
It is. Take it away, Harold.
Okay. So, and also part of the transition, as I just mentioned, Scott Fujita. So, this back in –
we're
Christ,
professionals
it's been,
here, people.
Oh, yeah, of course. The sad thing is it's been so damn long, I don't even remember the exact year or off season. I knew that we were in Jackson, Mississippi for one of those years, and I think this might have been the 06 year or maybe 07, I don't know. So the team, you know, the team had the morning practice, and, everything goes normal. We talk to players, talk to the coaches, get our sound, start to go write our little pieces about this and that. I'm sort of writing my blurbs, blah, 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 while the actual journalists are writing these, like, 1,200-word, 1,500-word pieces. I'm churning out, like, 300-word bits about why Steve Gleason likes Pearl Jam. So
why does he like Pearl Jam?
Oh, yeah. So they, you know, the PR people, they come up and, like, all right, guys, the team is currently eating lunch in the cafeteria. You guys are on deck because, you know, the players and the journalists can't be in the same place eating because things might get said or, you know, maybe there might be a dance-off or something. So we go outside the building and we wait for the players to leave, and then they tell us, oh, the players actually left a little while ago. They went to some water park. We're like, okay, that's cool, whatever. So we go in, your standard college cafeteria, the whole schmear, great stuff, all the ice cream you can eat. We're all eating, sitting at the tables together, you know, journalistic camaraderie and whatnot. And then out of the blue, we see fucking Scott Fujita on crutches coming in through this, through like the lobby of the building that we're in, and then into the cafeteria, like on crutches. And he's in a boot. I immediately, like, all the reporters look at each other like, what the fuck? I immediately take out my phone and start texting, my boss back at WWL, like, Scott Fujita's came in here on crutches, he got a boot. And I call real quick and I'm just like, yeah, listen, I can fucking verify with my own two eyes. He is in a boot. His foot is immobile. His foot is up. He is not putting any weight on it. I don't know what the fuck happened. Run with that. So, you know.
Your regular
we fucking,
Woodward and Bernstein held.
I'm remembering that I have heard this story now.
See? Now he remembers. Okay, so. Fuck, now I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, Woodward and Bernstein didn't have the whole Watergate thing dropped into their fucking lap like this. I may or may not have broken it. I might have broken it. I wish I could take fucking credit for it. I'd love to be the guy to take credit for it, but I can't say for sure. So we're all sitting there wondering what's going on. Well, one of the reporters who I'm sitting at a table with, who I'm still not going to name because he may or may not still be covering the team, and I do not want to get the guy in trouble. And I respect the guy that much and, you know, just shouldn't be like that. Gets up, approaches Fujita, and says, hey, what's going on? And Fujita, like, sort of kind of talks to him and says, goofing off, you know, just bang my foot. Not that big a deal. And, you know, that kind of becomes the thing.
Not that big of a deal. I'm in crutches.
Right. So Fujita's on crutches. His foot looks like shit, apparently. It's in a boot, blah, blah, blah. Who knows what his status is? Is he going to be able to walk? I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So the story's been up on WWL TV for a while. The story's been out on the other stations, on other paper websites, on The Wire, the whole deal. Suddenly, like, after the final practice, I get a phone call. I don't even remember who it was from. I know they had to have identified themselves, but they didn't chew me out. They didn't, like, cuss at me, but they were clearly very pissed off and wanted to know how the fuck did I get the information about Scott Fujita being injured. And I said, because he walked into the cat. He fucking hobbled his way into the cafeteria on crutches with a boot. Obviously, I was not just flip. I was fucking petrified because I was a little shit working for a TV station and felt way out of my depth. And I was like, oh, my God, I get to talk to professional football players. So to have the PR guy essentially be like, essentially for the PR guy to be like, who are you? Why are you doing this? What did you see? When did you see it? How did you see it? What is all this? I was kind of scared shitless.
Was it
so
just
he telling me,
Saints where he's like, hey, oh, man, my Fujita. Nothing. Keep going. Sorry.
So he just starts like saying, you know, you shouldn't have written anything. You shouldn't have said anything. You know, you guys weren't allowed to see that. And just like this whole slew of stuff, and just like this whole thing about how
unsee it, Kevin.
Yeah. You know, shame. How stupid of me, a hungry individual, to be in a cafeteria eating. You know, like I mean, that's what I. You know, fuck. An hour after this phone call, that's what I was fucking thinking the whole fucking time. Actually, here's what. So he tells me that Coach Payton is furious. That's what he tells me. He tells me fucking Coach Payton is furious with not only me, but with a handful of other reporters, and he wants to talk to each of us individually and figure out just what the fuck happened, blah, blah, blah. And then he starts asking me, you know, who's the guy that approached Scott Fujita? I'm like, I don't know. Clearly I fucking know, but I ain't going to fucking tell him. And I'm still not going to fucking tell him, so ha, ha, ha. You know, who saw this? Who reported? I said, look, we were all sitting there, and we all saw the guy come in on crutches with a boot on, so clearly there's something wrong with his foot unless he's playing the sickest game of fucking pantomime ever, and he clearly wasn't, because he was favoring that fucking foot, dude. He's not Daniel Day-Lewis. He is not that committed to the craft. So, again, he tells me, well, Sean Payton is going to call – Coach Payton is going to fucking call you later, and you need to talk to him and explain yourself. And I'm like, okay. So I immediately call my boss, and I'm shitting myself at this point. Like, I'm going to get chewed out by the fucking head football coach of my favorite sports team, and I'm going to be embarrassed, and I feel like shit, and I don't want to upset anybody, and I'm not trying to be a bad guy. I'm just trying to do my job. Somebody fucking hold me. The whole deal. I feel like ass. I'm talking to my boss. He tells me not to worry about it. He says, you were in the right. It's their fault for letting you see that. And then the second he told me that, I was like, there's like a fucking switch went off in my head. Like, you're goddamn right it's their fault. Because if it's been a standing rule that the reporters and the players don't fraternize off the field, why in God's name would they let Scott Fujita unaccompanied, hobble his way into the cafeteria to get whatever he wanted in front of a room of reporters whose jobs it is to share, to spot anything and then immediately share it with everyone around them, you know, without clearing us out. By that point, I was almost waiting for Sean Payton to fucking call me and be like, look, listen, my job is to fucking report what I see, and when I see a man on crutches come by, I'm gonna say that. I'm gonna point it out. I mean, if anything, shame on you, dude, for not shooing us out.
But you know what? Even if he didn't walk through the cafeteria, even if you had done a little Woodward and Bernstein and did a little snooping around and found this information on your own, it still your job to report. You know, it's still, you still would have been in the right.
Yeah, but the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Well, absolutely. The thing is with the Saints, with Sean Payton, they are, their paranoia and insanity.
I understand, but that's their tough shit to go. And I don't think that they actually wound up doing this. But I mean, if Sean Payton had actually called Kevin and shoot him out, I mean, why would you yell at a guy who's just doing his job? Like, Sean Payton should say, all right, you got me. Good job, guy. You know, you got me. But, you know, maybe don't do that. Maybe you and I can talk. Maybe we can come to an understanding or something like that. But, you know, it's one of those, I think this is one of those stories where, you know, this is why an expose on Outside the Lines is saying what they're saying about Sean Payton.
Well, the one thing about that, Dave, is when I saw the thing on Sean Payton, I immediately thought of you, and what you brought up was like, when, if they want to get the dirt on Sean Payton, where the fuck is Kenny Wilkerson? Where is Kenny Wilkerson in this?
Well, let me
have Kenny Wilkerson. Corey Johnson, he don't have no beef with Sean Payton. You gotta have Kenny Wilkerson on this. And
well, let me tell you something. The whole wiretapping story, the original that started this whole thing, that's got Kenny Wilkerson's stink all over it, if you ask me. I mean. That John Barr was coming down, right? John Barr was the one that wrote the original thing on ESPN, is that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, if John Barr supposedly came to New Orleans, stayed for a month, and was looking for the dirt on Sean Payton or whatever, I think at some point somebody tells you, hey, give this guy Kenny Wilkerson a call, and I wouldn't be surprised if some or all of this information came from Kenny, and you know, so I think he's been involved somehow behind the scenes
a
little bit.
As everybody knows, I'm pro Kenny Wilkerson, one of the rare ones. I'm definitely pro Kenny Wilkerson. One of these days, I got to get Kenny Wilkerson on this podcast and just let him, like,
that shouldn't be too difficult.
Shouldn't be, but like, just cleanse his soul, because even like, he just has stories with the Saints that just would just, it would just blow your fucking mind. They're so good. Maybe so what if they're only like 20% true? You won't care, because it'll be great, great entertainment. But,
well, shit, how much of the ESPN stories are 20% true?
Probably like 10% of it, maybe. The wiretapping probably like 5%, I think, because the Saints came out strong against that. But, you know, good times. We got so much possibilities for this podcast, gentlemen, and we still got like 20 weeks to go. But I think that's a great way to
end. I like the optimism.
I do. Kevin,
notice you didn't say 18 weeks. You said 20 weeks.
Yeah, you know.
Yes.
I'm the optimism, Dave. You pumped me back. I'm back feeling good about it. And Kevin, I think we have a new segment. We can have Sir Kevin as a segment, your British accent, and we can have Story Time with Uncle Kevin.
That's exactly what
Well, Story Time with Uncle Kevin. Story Time with Uncle Kevin may not always be about football, and it may be and I tell you what though, I've got some stories, but Dave may have to put up a fucking new warning about very inappropriate material of a possible illegal nature. You may not want to have anybody under the age of 18 listening, and any cops listening have to declare who they are beforehand.
Beautiful.
Ooh,
I think
Kevin's
it's done.
Smoking a doobie.
I think it's done.
No. Far worse.
It is. All right. On that note.
Kevin killing somebody.
On that note, I'm Ralph Marlboro. For Dave Cariello, go to Canal Street Chronicles. Kevin Hell, go to Hakeem Drop the Ball and get all your Pearl Jam lyrics that you can stand. I'm Ralph Marlboro. So long, until next week.
I love you, Raven.